This man on the screen, for those of you who don't know, is Boris Johnson. Keep it clean. But what words would you use to describe this guy? Shout some out. Oh, is that bad? Huh? Blonde. Confident. Too confident. Huh? Privileged. A Tory. Willing. Is he able? Lost. People, this is the Prime Minister of our great nation. What about this guy, Jose Mourinho? Some people, arrogant. The special one, perhaps. Greatest manager of all time. They are two examples of people that divide opinion, I think it's fair to say. And there's so many kind of words that we would use to describe those people, some being positive, some being negative. But there's quite a lot of chatter about those people, particularly Boris Johnson at the moment. And for us, we hear what goes on in the news and we see with our own eyes. And we've got to make up our own opinions about those people ourselves, don't we? When I was looking at controversial people, I gave my husband a shout. He's a researcher and he sent me through a whole list of Wikipedia's top 10 controversial people. You should look it up. I was really surprised. There was like Britney Spears on there. I was like, is she really that controversial? Anyway, coming in at number 3 was actually Jesus. Now that, yeah, is that a good thing? Should he be number 1 for controversy? I'm not quite sure. I feel like I'm spending far too much time on this. But the fact is with Jesus, he always has been, and I think always will be, a controversial person. And if you used to go out and do a straw poll on the streets about who people say Jesus is, you'd get such a wide variety of opinions. And I think that that was actually true back in the day too. We're going to be looking at this passage, just the two verses in Luke chapter 9. But before we do, bear in mind, this is what takes place before chapter 9, okay? So Jesus is publicly called God's son at his baptism. Jesus goes about his business. He resists evil where he's tempted. He overcomes evil in casting out spirits. He shows his power over nature and over sickness. He forgives people. He's hung out with baddies. He's done so much up until this point. Raised the dead, miraculously fed thousands of people. And now here we are, chapter 9, verses 18 to 20. And it says this, once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him. So Jesus does all that and then he takes some time out to go away to spend with his close followers. And it says this, verse 18, he says to his disciples, he says to his followers, who do the crowds, who does everybody say that I am? Now we don't know why he asked that question. Luke doesn't tell us, the other Gospels don't tell us why he asked that question, but he asked that question. And look, their response is really varied. They're saying, actually, a lot of people are saying a lot of things about you. What do they say? Verse 19, they say, some say that you're John the Baptist. Now, bearing in mind, John the Baptist has been beheaded before this point. And actually, we find out in Mark chapter 6 that Herod himself thought that Jesus was John the Baptist coming back to life, even though he was the one who ordered for John to have his head chopped off. Okay, so some are saying you're John the Baptist coming back from the dead. Some are say that you're Elijah reappearing after 8 centuries. Others say that you're a prophet from long ago who has come back to life. Now, that's what you call divided opinion. Probably a little bit like Boris. But then Jesus personalizes it. He says to his disciples, okay, that's what everybody else says. But verse 20, but what about you? Let's cut away the noise of everybody else. Who do you say that I am? And look, he addresses it to his disciples and then comes Peter. You know, if there's a space of quiet in the Bible, Peter's the one who's going to rush in to fill it. And so Peter pipes up. In everything that he's seen Jesus do, this is his response in verse 20. You are God's Messiah. You're not John the Baptist. You're not Elijah. You're not a prophet from long ago. You are God's Messiah. That's Christ in Greek. That's Messiah in Hebrew. And that's the anointed one in Aramaic. You're the one who's been divinely chosen by God to come. And you're the one who's been empowered to do the task. You're the one who's going to come and set the Jews free from oppression. Now, that was a massive step for Peter to take. We don't know at that point whether the other disciples were feeling the same and thinking the same, but just didn't have the bottle to stand up and actually say it. But Peter's the one. He's in the minority who calls out and says, Jesus, you're the Messiah. Jesus represents that minority. He says, you're the anointed one. You're the one who's going to bring about God's kingdom. And what effect did it actually have on Peter's life? Him answering that question, who do you say that I am? He followed Jesus with his whole life. He carried on following Jesus around when Jesus was doing his thing. He was the one who got out of the boat, attempted to walk on water to go over to Jesus. Started sinking, but that's kind of by the by. He was the one who was so passionate, Jesus, I'm never going to betray you. And then denies Jesus. He messes up. But you know what? You see amazing things about Peter in the life of Acts. And led to believe that Peter lost his life as a result of following Jesus. When he said, you're the Messiah, we don't even know if Peter fully knew what he was saying. But actually he lived a life of following Jesus. And so for us, we are in a series called Word Alive, and we're talking about kind of passages of scripture, not just that, that the Bible you are holding in your hands, we believe to be God's Word, and we believe it to be alive and living and active and able to speak into our very lives and our very situations. Darren spoke a couple of weeks ago on Hebrews 4 verse 12 and the second part of it says that the Word of God, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. And so for me, a few weeks ago, I was walking down Roman and I was coming into work and I do this thing. I'd say like, I hold my thoughts before God. So like I'm walking and I'm thinking, but kind of talking to God and saying, God, you see what's in my head. Does anybody else do that? No, it's one person. I thoroughly recommend it. And I was saying, God, you know, like work, home, my parenting, my life, my future, like there's so much, isn't there, in our day-to-day lives. And I was like, God, what are you saying about this stuff? Where is the direction and where is my peace? And in the midst of that, I just felt God say to me, Jen, who do you say that I am? Now, look, I've been a Christian for a long time. I know who Jesus is, right? I went Bible college and I studied about who Jesus is. So I know who Jesus is. So that seemed like a really weird question to ask. But my mind was cast back to this passage in Luke. And just for the disciples, the noise of everybody else around them saying who Jesus was and the fact that Jesus called them out and said, who do you say that I am? And so for me, I'm not Peter. This passage isn't a direct translation to my life. But actually, I was required in that moment to think, do you know what? I know, like I know in my head and I know everybody around about me who follows Jesus would say that you're the perfect good shepherd who goes out in front, who leads and guides me. And that you're the one who keeps me in perfect peace. If I was to ask my Christian friends, they would tell me that. But you know what? I was living my life in such a way that actually wasn't really acknowledging that in the day to day. I knew it here, but actually I didn't know it here because I was fretting and I was worrying and I was trying to work it out by myself. And so God said, Jen, who do you say that I am? Because what we believe to be true about Jesus should affect how we live our lives. And so I was challenged, Jen, you either believe that I'm the good shepherd or you don't. You either believe that I'm the one who keeps you in perfect peace or you don't. There's no middle ground. It is quite black and white. And I kind of like that because I am quite black and white. But, you know, I felt so convicted that I could say who Jesus was with my lips, but actually I wasn't living it out in my life. And so, like I said, sorry to God and God, come on, let's try and do things differently. Let's approach my day-to-day life really differently as I'm walking down Roman Road. And let me say this, when we talk about the Word of God being alive and active, it's really hard for us to recall scripture and for scripture to come to mind if we don't know scripture. Like, that stands to reason, doesn't it? If you don't study the highway code, you don't know what the signs on the edge of the road actually mean. And so I know this kind of portion of scripture because I've studied it and I've spoken it quite a few times before. And God has the ability to call those things to mind when we least expect it. And so I'd encourage you this morning, read God's word. Listen to God's word. There's no way around it. There's so many ways that we can get God's word into our hearts and into our minds. And so I really encourage you to do that. And as we do that, you know, let's be praying, God, may this knowledge in my head marry up with what's in my heart and how I live my life. Put it into practice. And what else? Live differently. And so this morning, what about you? This is such a good question that Jesus asks his disciples. Who do you say that I am? There's no place to run and there's no place to hide from that. And so this morning, like for you in your situation, whatever you find yourself in, whatever life looks like for you this morning, let me ask you this. Who do you say that Jesus is? And then as you answer that, how does that live out and translate into your life? Because Peter didn't say, Jesus, you are the Messiah, and then go back to living his life how he once did. He followed and he lived his life differently. And so for you, not who do your parents say that Jesus is? Not who do your church leaders say that Jesus is? Not who does your spouse say that Jesus is? But actually you, this morning, if you had a one-on-one with Jesus and he said, who do you say that I am? How would you answer that question? You know, if you're a follower of Jesus and you know stuff about him, you know that he's Lord, he is provider, he is a healer, he's a shepherd, he's a sustainer. How does that affect your day-to-day life? Because it should, shouldn't it? If he's our peace, then we don't need to be anxious. If he's our provider, we don't need to stress about where our provision is coming from. And do you know what else? It is such a good question to ask other people. Who do you say Jesus is? You know, like, I'm often convinced that we're more embarrassed about Jesus than a non-believer. There was a time I was in a pub with a friend. We were just catching up. And as normally happens, we just get like a random person come and sit and start talking to us. And this guy just started talking to us. He said that he'd been up to the hospital to visit someone who was sick. We were kind of right by the London hospital. And he was kind of talking about the sadness of the situation. And he said like a flippant comment like, oh, you know, well, I don't know if it was flippant, but, you know, we just pray that the person gets better. That's all that we can do. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I was like, do you actually mean that when you say that? Or are you just saying that because, you know, all else fails, there's nothing else that we can do? And he said, well, you know, I did kind of believe it once, but, you know, I don't really believe it now. And then his story unfolded about church and about faith. And I said to him, you know, like, putting all that aside, the church business aside, even a sick person laying in hospital, like, what do you believe to be true about Jesus? Who do you actually believe he is? And we had such a good conversation. You know, he didn't come to faith. Like, I don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what's happening in his life. But you know what? Just being able to say, who do you think Jesus is? Not like, do you go to church? Or what do you think about religion? But who do you say Jesus is? It was such a great way in. And so for us who are going out onto the field to have a picnic and to play some games, I really encourage you, when the opportunity arises, to ask people, who do you say that Jesus is? Not the people round about you, but you yourself. And if you're not coming out, and if you're finding yourself at home, if you're finding yourself on a beach this summer, just look for the opportunities that will present themselves. And just have that in the back of your mind. Who do you say that I am? Okay. Let's pray. Yeah, Jesus, so mindful that at the time when you were knocking about and doing the stuff that you did, that there was such divided opinion about you. And we sit here this morning just surrounded by people who believe you to be a prophet, believe you to be a good man, believe you to be somebody who didn't exist. And for us as followers of Jesus who sit here this morning, we believe you to be the Christ. And Yeah, and God, I pray this morning for us in our situations that we would answer the question that you asked Peter. Who do you say that I am? And may we answer that with our mouths and with our hearts and our minds, but also our lives that are in line with that. Just recognizing, God, that that you actually are really amazing. And for us, as we go out on mission and as you send us out to be your salt and light at work and at home, on our patch, over the field today, God, I pray that simple question would be on our lips, ready to ask others who they say that you are. And Jesus, thank you for the truth that we just sung. Thank you, Jesus, that there is no name that is greater than yours. May we live our lives in line with what our lips say. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.